Well, it has been 1 week, and the auguries are starting to show. You may have read in the Pathfinder a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was just last week? I wrote that the word inauguration has at its root the auguries, this ancient practice of trying to foretell the future. The ancients would grab a flight of birds, right? They'd grab a group of birds and they would release them. And by the pattern of the flight, they hoped to discern what omens lay ahead. And so it's been a week. And I don't know if I can quite handle weeks like this for the next how many ever years, but it's where we are. And it's actually right where we are in this gospel, right? This gospel of Matthew is, this passage is its inauguration in and of itself. It's the biblical scholar Caroline Lewis who points us in this direction. She notes that in each of the four Gospels, the public act, the first public act that Jesus does is an image or a sign or a sense of the trajectory that this account of the good news is going in. So, for instance, in Mark's gospel, Jesus' first public act is an exorcism, right? He exorcises a demon from someone, and it shows the reader what Jesus will be doing. It shows the reader that nothing will separate God from God's people from beginning to end. Jesus will be stepping in to make sure that no separation will exist. In Luke's gospel, it happens a different way. In Luke's gospel, Jesus goes back to his hometown of Nazareth. Do you remember what happens there? Right, he goes back to the hometown, he's in the synagogue, and he asks for the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he unrolls it. And he begins to read. He said, today in your hearing, it is fulfilled that the poor have good news brought to them, that the prisoners, the captives are released, that the oppressed go free. This is the year of our Lord's favor, the Jubilee. And in that action, Jesus is letting us know that no one is so lost that they cannot be found. This is one of the truths of Luke's telling of the good news. John's gospel, and now for something completely different. In John's gospel, Jesus is at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And his first act, right? You remember the ceremony has happened, the feast is underway, and there are murmurs of shame. The wedding has run out of wine. And so Jesus' mother says to Jesus, "Do something." Okay, he's not so excited about it at first, but he does. He asks for jars of water to be brought, to be filled to the brim, and then somehow he makes wine. And not just any wine, but such good wine and in such amounts that it is abundance. It is grace upon grace in the person of Jesus. And that is one of the arcs of John's gospel. Which brings us to today, to Matthew. And in Matthew's gospel, we see something different, right? Because we have these verses that begin, blessed are, right? Jesus sits down to teach. And why? Because in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is, it's kind of like the new Moses. He's a teacher of the law. And Matthew is very careful to tell this, right? Because Jesus, like Moses, there's this troubled infancy narrative. And then they both go through the water and into the wilderness. And then they both ascend a mountain. And you know that Matthew, that this is really important to Matthew because he kind of stretches things here. There really are not that many mountains in Galilee, you know. It's likely there's a very steep hillside. And so Jesus ascends the mountain. And in the position of the teachers of his day, he sits to teach. I think there's another sense of why Jesus teaches and why he teaches what he teaches today. Because for all those who have been following him, they've been hearing this same refrain, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I have to guess that they were wondering, like we often wonder, where is this kingdom of heaven? How do we find this kingdom of heaven? It's like we teach in our godly play parables that this was a kingdom like they had never lived in. It was a kingdom like they had never visited. It's like a country that we have never voted in. What is this kingdom of heaven like? How can we know when we are there? How will we find it? And so Matthew has Jesus teach. And he teaches this, what we've called this Sermon on the Mount, right? It's a series of teachings, and we are going to spend the next month in the fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel, in this portion, this section of the Sermon on the Mount. And it begins, it's like this inaugural address, showing us where Jesus is going, and it begins with these, the Beatitudes. Now, a word of what the Beatitudes aren't before I say something about what they might be. The Beatitudes actually really aren't imperatives, right? The grammar here is not of command or imperative. It's the grammar of indicatives. Now, don't worry. I don't want you to fear, because the imperatives are coming, right? Next week, the week following, several weeks, you will get them, and they're going to be something, right? It's going to be love your enemies, a command. Pray for those who persecute you, a command. These are indicatives. Indicatives meaning that they indicate, they show us where this kingdom of heaven can be found. They're more descriptive than they are prescriptive. And so I can imagine these disciples, these learners, sitting at the feet of Jesus and saying, where is this kingdom of heaven to be found? And I think this is where Mr. Rogers is helpful. Mr. Rogers, you may remember him, the genial, gentle children's television show host, Presbyterian minister. Mr. Rogers, when he was asked at one point by a parent what to tell their children in a time of disaster, when there is chaos or disorder, you know the kind of conversations that many parents have been having recently. Mr. Rogers said, well, Actually, I turned to what my mother told me, which was, look for the helpers. Look for the people who are helping, because they will always be there. Matthew, with these Beatitudes, is having Jesus show us where the kingdom of heaven will be. Which, I don't know about you, but I need to see it. This last week, well, there were many times when I was afraid. Right? I was afraid for immigrants. I'm afraid for refugees. I'm afraid for Muslims. I'm afraid for the Lakota. I'm afraid for those who are right on the edge and their health insurance is what is protecting them, keeping them whole. And I realize that these may just be my concerns. They may not be yours. But this week they have been mine. And so I've been wondering where this kingdom is. And so what I did, I invite you to do as well, which is to go up the mountain with Jesus. And so just, we're going to do this right now. I want you to find a place where you're comfortable, and if it helps, close your eyes. And I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine that you're on a hillside. You're with a group of people, all kinds, all ages, and you are sitting there listening. And in front of you is Jesus. Doesn't matter how he appears. And you're looking to Jesus because you are wondering. You are wondering about this kingdom of heaven. Listen. As Jesus shows us the way. When Jesus says, look for those who mourn. Look for those who are brokenhearted. Look for those who are persecuted. You will not have to try hard to find them. Follow them. Look for the gentle. Look for those who are showing mercy. Look for those who are pure of heart. You will find them. They are here. Have no fear. Follow them. Look for those who are actively making peace. Look for those who are hungry, who are thirsty from physical need for the world to be made right. They are everywhere. Follow them. Friends, I don't know what this week will bring. And I fear that if last week was an indicative that we are sowing and will reap the whirlwind. But what I trust in is that when we look around, when we look within, we can find the blessed of Jesus. Follow them, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand.